Welcome to Between the Lines, a time such as this, where hosts David and Jonathan delve into the mysteries of prophecy in our modern world. Get ready for thought-provoking discussions and eye-opening revelations. Ladies and gents, our hosts.
All right, you're here with Dave and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WBFF 97.7. We normally just go through the Bible starting in the beginning, and we're working our way all the way through, explaining things and trying to give you a better understanding of some of God's hidden meanings in certain things. But something has happened in the world. I want to do a special little presentation on what has recently happened the day after Easter. Pope Francis died. And you said, oh, Pastor Dave, you're not Catholic. Why are you worried about that? Not worried about it. Very excited. There is a prophecy in the book of Revelation that speaks about the eight kings. It begins at Revelation 17, 9. I'm going to read it real quick here. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Now, what does that have to do with the Catholic Church? It is the Lateran Treaty. It was established in 1929. And what that treaty done was it made Vatican City, which is 105 acres, it made it into an independent nation. They have, currently, they have ambassadors in 160, and what do you call it, where the ambassador goes?
The embassies.
The embassy. They have embassies in 160 different countries. They print their own passports. They make treaties. They have their own laws. They are totally independent from Italy. They are their own nation. So what happened in 1929 is the Pope, who was the head of the Catholic Church, became a king. And they actually coronated Pius the 11th as the first king on February 11th, 1929. So they have a tiara that they place on their heads. So as of 1929, the Vatican is its own nation, and the Pope is the king of that nation. Okay, so here we have the mind. Back to chapter 17, verse 9. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The woman is the Catholic organization. The seven mountains, everyone knows. Any history book will tell you Rome sits on seven mountains, okay? That is absolutely got to be exactly what that is. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen and one is. So when John seen this revelation, he came to the time when the sixth king was still alive. Okay, that would have been John Paul II. Okay, now that would have made Benedict the seventh one. So back when Benedict resigned, all of us that understand and try to understand, all of us that believe in this prophecy got all excited. This is happening. It's got to be. This is it. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Benedict's number seven. And this Bible says the eighth king will be the beast. And it didn't happen. Francis was just a nice old man. So when he died, I was very disappointed, and so were many others. And we kind of forgot about this. And when he died, I woke up day after Easter. I seen that he died. And this thing came in my mind again. And I went in and I started looking. I started looking at all of these different popes. You got Pius the 11th, Pius the 12th. You got John the 10th, 23rd. You got Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul the 2nd, and Benedict the 16th. And John Paul the 1st, in 1978, caught my eyes because he only spent 33 days as the Pope. So I started looking into John Paul I's life. And lo and behold, John Paul I was a very humble man, which gives me great pride in believing that there are good men still in that organization. And maybe that's why God only had him there for 33 days, because this is just like God to throw a wrench into this prophecy so that you can't figure it out quite so easy. He doesn't want his mysteries just laying open on the book. He says, it does me good for kings to search my word and try to understand my mysteries.
Apologies for this interruption, but we have some breaking news.
But I want to talk about these crowns for a second, because God has thrown a wrench into this prophecy, because he doesn't want it to be easily figured out. That's what he says in this book. I love it when kings search out my word for my mysteries. And by the reason he says kings, he means intelligent folks. So he wants the intelligent of the intelligent to even have trouble finding his mystery. So let's talk about these crowns first. After the Lateran Treaty of 1929, when Vatican City became its own nation, then the popes were crowned as king. And Pius XI was the first, Pius XII was the second, John the 23rd was number three, and Paul the sixth was number four. They all took the papal crown. Now, John Paul I, he was a humble man. He said, no, I don't want to be crowned. He denied the coronation ceremony. And also did John Paul II, Benedict the 16th, and Francis, who just died. But lo and behold, looking into these fellows, they were given crowns by other nations. And I want to throw in there what I think the significance of this is. Now, when the papal crown and these other crowns were given, this was spoken as they placed it on their head. Receive this tiara adorned with three crowns, and know that thou art father of princes and kings, ruler of the world, vicar of our Savior Jesus Christ on earth. Okay, and vicar means representative, deputy, or substitute, a substitute for God here on earth. Okay, now the papal crown that the first five actually took, in my opinion, represents the original Roman Empire. And the woman sits on the seven hills, as we're talking about it in Revelation. That is the Catholic organization. She sits on the seven hills, which is Rome. Okay, now John Paul II was given a crown by Hungary. And Hungary represents the Ottoman Empire, which is all of the rest of the land that Rome conquered before it dissolved. So now we have, with the papal crown and the Hungary crown, we have all of the real estate owned by Rome at its greatest point. Okay? Now Benedict the 16th was given a crown by Germany. And Germany was the center of the Holy Roman Empire. That was what was left of the Roman Empire after the large conglomerate of Rome had fallen apart and they pulled together. And Germany was the head of the Holy Roman Empire and is also the leader of the modern European Union. Okay, now Francis was given a crown by Macedonia. Macedonia is the kingdom of Alexander the Great, who is in this Bible over and over in prophecy, and it tells that he was mighty, and the military prowess of him is talked about in this Bible. So we have what we have here with the papal crowns and these other three crowns are the original Roman Empire, the full extent of the Roman Empire, the military prowess of the kingdom of Alexandria, and the modern state of the European Union, all being pulled together and given to these popes as king of the earth, just like they said, thou art father of princes and kings, ruler of the world. So if these three crowns, these three foreign crowns, which I do believe they count, if they count, we are on number seven, waiting for the beast. And we have an update to this 8 Kings prophecy. We have a new pope, Leo the 14th, an American, first time ever. Interestingly enough, he is Pope and not king. He did not go through the coronation ceremony. He did not receive the tiara. So this prophecy is holding. We are still on king number 7, waiting for king number 8. And what does it say will be number 8? And our world, if somehow this happens, and I believe it will, if somehow this happens, the entire world will flock to this man. And that's exactly what it says will happen in the beginning of the tribulation period. There will be peace and prosperity for a little while. Everything. This man is going to make everything wonderful. And the world is going to be a rosy place. And mankind will finally have achieved his rainbow. And then all hell will break loose because his true nature will come out. So, and go back to chapter 17, verse 11. And the beast that was, he was the one that destroyed the first world. And there is prophecy in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. He called him destroyer of worlds. And is not, he is not now. Even he is the eighth. He was and is not. Even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. That thing will be risen out of the bottomless pit and will indwell the body of one of these seven. And I tell you, I believe it's John Paul II, because they were so, they took such care. They didn't tell you this. They took such care to preserve his body. And they were always saying, not that they took the care to preserve it, that he was so uncorruptible that even his body is not withering away. Mm-hmm. They had him in a glass coffin mm-hmm. for viewing under the altar for years, with television cameras looking at him 24 hours a day.
I remember the special on PBS when they were showing all that.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And last time when we thought this was going to happen, we were expecting like bright lights to come out of there, and he was going to pop up. Can you imagine what the world would have done that happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I might. There would have been nothing ever talked about again on the news.
Right.
But I do believe it's John Paul, because he was the most beloved pope, and he was a universal pope. He tried to include everyone in this world, and I don't remember other than the guy that tried. And plus, in here, it says the beast has a deadly wound that healed. John Paul had a deadly wound, and he healed up from it and lived a short time longer. So, can you imagine, folks, if John Paul II pushes the lid off of that sarcophagus in the palace they got over there? What do they call it? The basilica. In the basilica over there, the St. Peter's Square, and comes crawling out, everyone over there will bend the knee to him. And it will be a uniting effect for this entire world. So, like I said, we're here with Jonathan and David on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. A special preview. We normally just go through the Bible and try to explain its hidden mysteries and meanings. But something has happened in the world, and we're talking about now with the death of Pope Francis. And we're not Catholics, but the Catholic Church is in this book. The Universal Church has been corrupt. It was corrupted in the 3rd century, and Satan has been using it as a tool. I mean, what better way to corrupt God's church than to get right in the mix of it and change things? I mean, they're into idolatry. They're into all sorts. There was even a time in the Dark Ages they were into necromancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has become. And the Catholic Church is responsible for more blood on this globe than any armies that ever marched.
Yes, sir.
I'm not judging them. That is for God and God alone. But that church is mentioned in this Bible. And it is the great whore of Revelation. And we're going to go over it one more time. Let's go back just a little bit. Go back, chapter 17, verse 8. And the beast that thou sawest was... He was the beast that destroyed the former world. And if you don't understand that, you catch the very first episode of Between the Lines. You can catch that on WVFFradio.com. And you'll understand that this is not the first time around for this world. It's right here in this Bible. So he was, and he is not, because he's in the bottomless pit, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That is absolute doom at the end. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, do not confuse that with the Lamb's book of life. That is the book of all. When you are conceived and God puts that spirit into your body, you are recorded in the book of life. Should you leave this earth without some sort of connection to God through Jesus Christ or one of the other covenants that are in here, your name is blotted out from that book. Not the Lamb's book. The Lamb has his own book. They are the best of the best. Now, so the names that were not written in the book of the life from the foundations of the world. And if you'll catch the first few episodes of Between the Lines, you will understand that what happened in the garden had more to do than with just an apple. There was seduction. There were two children in Eve's womb, and they had two different fathers. And when God said, her seed and your seed, did that ever occur to you? Where did the serpent's seed come from? And the fact that the Bible says that after Abel was killed, that when Adam had another son, the Bible actually says, and this one was in his likeness. You know, there was a reason. There's a lot of things between the lines. You have to look at every word in this book. You have to look at sentences. You have to read it over and over and over again. It says, those whose names were never written in the book of life, unsanctioned persons, not placed here by God. And there were some of them that survived the flood. You know, Noah, and there's a lot of wording there. God says, I destroyed all flesh that I breathed life into. You remember that, Jonathan?
That's right.
Breathed life into. But there were others. And if you read the Samaritan text, it tells a tale about Tubal-Cain taking his clan to the highest mountain in the world and surviving. How were there again giants after the flood if that did not happen? Oh, well, yeah, the daughters of Noah's sons had some of those bloodlines in them. No, that is not the case. God preserved the people he wished to preserve, and others were preserved. But if you got to look at the words closely, God said, I destroyed all flesh in which I placed the spirit of life.
Yes.
So, between the lines, there's a lot more to be read. So, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, these folks will be his, and they will be his minions, and they will worship him, and a lot of others will too, unfortunately. God said the miracles and mysteries this beast will do will be so fantastical that even the elect are in danger of falling and believing in this creature. And verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And that is the Catholic organization. I don't like to call it a church. It is the richest corporation in the world. So the Catholic organization sits on the seven mountains of Rome. That is a known fact. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. That's when John was seeing this vision during the life of the sixth one. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short time. And I told you that we all thought this was going to happen when Benedict resigned. But it didn't. Francis just turned out to be a nice old man. And things went on their way. The beast did not come. But then when Francis died the other day, I started looking at this real hard, and I found that John Paul I, 1978, he only ruled for 33 days. He refused the coronation ceremony that made him king of the Vatican. He refused it. He was a humble man. He said, I wish to wear a bishop's cloth on my head instead. He was never king. So that puts us at the seventh king, with Francis dying now.
Apologies for this interruption, but we have some breaking news.
And we have an update to this Eight Kings prophecy. We have a new pope, Leo XIV, an American, first time ever. Interestingly enough, he is pope and not king. He did not go through the coronation ceremony. He did not receive the tiara. So this prophecy is holding. We are still on king number 7, waiting for king number 8. And the Bible says king number 8 will be an indwelled one of the 7 by the beast himself. Interesting to me that an American pope was elected, because a lot of the last days prophecies in this book concern America. And now leading the Catholic organization, who is the great whore, sits on the 7 hills, is now an American. But he did not take the crown. Don't lose faith in prophecy. Don't lose faith in this prophecy. It's coming about. Stay tuned, because God's throwing some left turns in this one. And this Bible says, and the beast that was, the one that destroyed the last world, and is not right now, he's in the pit, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. Somehow, one of those 7 will be indwelled and brought back, I truly believe. There may be some other way that some other meaning that about the 7, one of the 7, but I truly believe that John Paul II somehow will be indwelled by this beast and be resurrected. And I mean, the ultimate plan is to create a Jesus Christ has returned facade on this earth. And if that man is resurrected, so many millions, if not billions, will be sucked into this deception. I tell you what, if this truly is taking place, we will know in the next couple of months. And if you see some fantastical thing happen over there, you better get your life straight, because the clock is ticking. We will be in the last 7, 8, 9, or 10 years of this planet as we know it.
And don't follow after him.
No, absolutely not. It is a lie, no matter how good he is. And he will be good. He will come as an angel of light with absolute deception, with great miracles. Well, just the fact that he rises back up will be a great miracle. Oh, Pastor Dave, this sounds crazy. You've lost it. I'm excited, because I have researched this book my entire life. And this one here is the guidepost to the end. When this happens, and all of the other prophecies have taken place, the Bible said that in the end days, the seat of David's power will be moved to Jerusalem. Donald Trump done that during his first presidency. Every president since Jimmy Carter said they were going to do that. They did not have the nerve to do it. Donald Trump did. He moved the embassy back to the seat. The power of David's throne is back in Jerusalem. There is nothing else standing in the way. And do not be looking for a rapture, Christian. It's not going to happen. It happens slightly after the midway mark. And if you'll come and stay with us on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, I will prove that to you. It is written in black and white in multiple places in here. That is a pipe dream. And I'll tell you what that pipe dream does. It is a horrible thing for a preacher that has not read this book and does not understand these words to tell someone, because the Bible said in the end days there will be a great falling away of faith. Because when the tribulation starts, in the beginning it'll be really nice. This man, this beast, will be doing miracles and uniting the world, one great big beautiful religion, and then his true nature will come out and all hell will break loose on this planet. And these Christians that are still here, as God said, you'll go through tribulation, but not great tribulation. The Christians that are still here will say, oh, pastor told me that I'm supposed to be taken out of here before any of this starts. No, that's what he told you, but that's not what this book said. This book said you will go out of here shortly after the midway point of the great tribulation. You will be here through tribulation, but God says, I will not leave you in great tribulation. Okay, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay, These young Christians in the first century were looking for Christ to return already. He says, calm down. Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled in your mind. It's not happening right now. Let me tell you when it is going to happen. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. What did I tell you? That's going to happen because folks were told they would be taken out of here before the tribulation began. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this beast will go into the third temple, which this Bible says will be built during the first half of the tribulation period. He will go in to the first temple and defile the mercy seat of God and sit himself there. And if you go to Daniel, Daniel is very clear. He even spells it out in days exactly when this beast will go and set himself in the temple. And it is right at the midway point of the tribulation period. So there, I mean, Paul could not spell it out any clearer. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. And the day he's talking about is the gathering together of ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. That day shall not come, and except there come a great falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What is described right there is called the abomination of desolation in this Bible. It's spoken about in many places, but I recommend you go to Daniel and you search it out, and he will tell you exactly when that takes place. And it's so sad that this great falling away has to happen first. And it is because these tens of thousands of preachers have told these wonderful Christians that they're going to be snatched out of here. God's not going to allow any of this to happen. You know, read Revelation. John sees millions of saints under the throne, dressed in white. He says, why are those there and who are they? And the angel says, those are the saints that come out of great tribulation. They're given white robes and told to wait until their number is complete. If the church is taken out of here before it all starts, how are those people put there? There are so many clues. That's just one of 27 different things I can show you to prove to you the that your rapture that you're wanting so badly does not happen till a little after midway through the tribulation period. Be prepared, Christian. Be prepared for this beast to come upon the scene, unite the world, make it a beautiful place for just a short time, and then his true nature will come out and all hell will break loose. More to come on this as it comes to full fruition. I am so hoping this is it. You know, don't be afraid. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there is nothing to be afraid of. Only good will come. Sure, we're going through a little bit of a tribulation before that. But what comes after is the real life, the one that you were put here to prove that you could actually have a part of. Don't be afraid. Look to it. Be happy for it. And I'll see you next time here on WVFF 97.7 Between the Lines with Jonathan and David. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Between the Lines, a time such as this. We hope our exploration of prophecy has given you food for thought and encouraged you to consider your spiritual journey with Christ at the center. Join us next time for more insightful discussions with David and Jonathan here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.